Today on More to Life, when the hurt won't heal. Are you carrying hurts that you're having a hard time letting go of? We'll help you find the next steps on the path toward healing and peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say, I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, when the hurt won't heal. You know, are you carrying hurts, either more recent hurts from an argument or a cruel comment or a difficult situation that you're having a hard time letting go of, or hurts that you've been carrying with you for quite some time? Either way, it can be hard to get past those hurts, and we want to help you find the next steps on the path to healing and peace. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, hurt is such a complicated thing, isn't it? I think a lot of us these days get hurt easily when it's somebody that doesn't necessarily affect us. You know, somebody who cuts us off in traffic, somebody who puts up something ridiculous on the internet. And we feel a sense of like, oh, you know, this hurt. They were so disrespectful to me. But it's safe to feel hurt that way. Where it gets complicated is with people who matter, who we've invested in, or who have a particular role in our lives. If our parents have hurt us as children in some way, are we even allowed to feel hurt or angry? Because they're our parents. Weren't they supposed to be wonderful? It must have to do with us. It gets complicated in our heads. Our thoughts spin out very quickly. If it's somebody who holds a position of authority or somebody that we truly felt invested in, a boyfriend or girlfriend, a spouse where we said, oh, you know, even a best friend, where we thought we put so much of ourselves into this relationship and then they did something unkind or even cruel. How do we deal with that and work out why can I trust myself because I trusted this person? What do I do with the pain? Do I ever let them back into my life? And if I choose to try to recuperate from the hurt, how do I protect myself in the future?
877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. I think most of us would like to get past those kinds of hurts. Sometimes we try really hard, and no matter how hard we try, they still keep coming back up for us.
Yeah.
Other times we've done everything we can to say, I forgive you, and to move past it. But, you know, we still have that sense of hurt and frustration, and then we feel guilty about not being able to let it go. You know, other times we give that pain to God because we feel like there's not necessarily anything we can do about it. You know, that person isn't sorry, or they're not in our life anymore, or any other complication that makes it difficult to get past it. And so we say, okay, Lord, please take this hurt away. And it still sits there, like this big ache in our hearts. What do we do to move past that?
And when hurt gets mixed up with our faith, it gets even more complicated. So if we're carrying around hurt, some kind of ache or pain in our hearts or our minds, and then we go to confession or we go to Mass and we just pray the Lord's Prayer, and we think, oh, we have to forgive them because we want God to forgive us. Well, even if we say we've forgiven them, the pain's still there. So that gets complicated because we begin to say, well, did I really forgive them? Am I a bad person? Can God forgive me? And it gets a little spinny-outy in our minds and our hearts sometimes.
877-573-7825. Today's show again, When the Hurt Won't Heal. Are you having a hard time letting go of something someone did or said to hurt you? Maybe it was an unkind comment or a cruel word. Maybe it was the way they dismissed your concerns, ignored you, or treated you disrespectfully. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, you know, some of us carry around deeper wounds from painful experiences in our past. Either way, we want to help you discover the next steps toward letting God heal those old hurts and reclaim your peace. 877-573-7825.
Or maybe you're bearing the pain of the fact that somebody is still holding a grudge or will not forgive you because you said or did something, or at least they say you did, and you've tried to work it out with them, and they still are stonewalling you in some way, shape, or form. And that can be extremely painful as well and leave us feeling like, what in the world can I do about this? How do I move on, or should I keep working at it? What do I do? It's complicated because we are trying to be in relationship with other people, and we can hurt one another. And it can cause us to make some very strange decisions about how we move on unless we can sort it out with God's grace. Let us help you do that today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it possibly help me heal past hurts? Well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships. And he came to be called the theology of the body. And we discover that plan by reflecting prayerfully on God's design of our bodies and his work through salvation history.
And what I love about the fact that St. John Paul II wrote the theology of the body is this is a man who went through an awful lot of hurt and pain in his life. So he speaks from a place of real experience. You know, the theology of the body, you know, it helps us to understand that while each of us carries hurts from the things people have done to us in the past, for some of us, those hurts relate to a difficult childhood. For others, it has to do with more recent betrayals or disappointments, just simple miscommunications or injuries committed by a spouse, friends, colleagues, or family members. But whether the offenses we're carrying around are big or even small, the theology of the body reminds us that God doesn't want us to limp along saying, "Oh, well, I guess I'm always going to feel like this." He wants us to know his plan to heal us, and he wants us to confidently embrace that plan for our healing.
Yeah, and it can be difficult because sometimes we can even start to identify with that hurt. We can say, you know, this is who I am because of the way I was hurt by this person or in this way. But in his theology of the body, St. John Paul described what he called eschatological man. Now, that's just a big word that means the whole healed, godly, grace-filled vision of ourselves that the Lord sees when he looks at us. You know, the truth is that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled self that we're meant to become can sometimes seem like a very remote thing to us and kind of hard for us to get there on our own. But here's the good news. We don't have to become something we're not to be that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled self. That self already exists in God. And the closer we draw to God, the more those true, whole, healed, godly, and grace-filled selves are revealed in us. Healing old hurts begins when we believe that all things are possible with God and that he is the true source of our healing, and that regardless of what we've been through, he's giving us the grace to be everything we were created to be, if only we'll set ourselves to doing the work that that healing requires of us. All right. Easier said than done, though, right? Mm-hmm. So let us help you find ways to get past that hurt when that hurt won't heal. 877-573-7825. Again, that number 877 573-7825. Are you carrying hurts that you're having a hard time letting go of? And you don't mean to. I mean, none of us do, right? But sometimes they just stick around, even when we don't want them, even when we've given them to God, even when we say, I forgive you. And what about those situations that are more complicated? For example, when that person isn't sorry, or they're not in our life anymore, and the hurt still continues. How do we heal then? Let's talk it out and find grace-filled ways to move past those old hurts and reclaim the healing and the peace that God has for us. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where we have been hurt by someone close to us, by someone in our past, by someone in our present. We are struggling, Lord, to let go of those hurts. And we give them to you and we ask you to teach us how to respond to them in ways that will allow your grace and healing to flow. Help us to identify what those wounds are and what your plan is for healing us step by step through your grace. Help us to see that that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled self that we long to be already exists in you. And help us to see how, by drawing closer to you, you can reveal that self in us so that we might be able to reclaim that sense of peace and healing in spite of the hurts we've encountered. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled, When the Hurt Won't Heal. Are you carrying around a hurt that you're having a hard time letting go? Whether it's because of something that happened recently, you know, an unkind comment, disrespectful behavior, someone ignoring you or dismissing your concerns, or an older hurt from childhood or other past experiences that have been painful and difficult to get past. Let's talk about what it takes to find those next steps on the path to healing and peace. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia on the Quest.
Hi, Anne. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Yes. I was having a hard time. I have an adult daughter that was very rude to me about 8 or 9 months ago. And having a hard time. I mean, of course, I forgive her, but she hurt me very badly by some things that she said.
Can you tell us a little bit about what happened, whatever you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah. We were on vacation together, and she was making lunch, and I was just in the kitchen. We were sitting around the kitchen, and she got mad and said, I can't take you staring at me, yelled at me, and said, I can't handle you staring at me. Just go away. Just get away from me. Just get away. And her other mother-in-law was there, and, you know, she was talking to her. I don't know. She got mad, so I left, and I went upstairs and, you know, cried for a few minutes and kind of stayed up there for a while and then, you know, just came back down. And
So how have you, you said this was like 8 or 9 months ago, though. So how have you dealt with her since? Have you discussed it at all?
Well,
have you had interactions with her?
Yeah, she had called me, you know, the day after we got home and was very nice, you know, and I should have talked with her then about how bad she hurt me. She never apologized, and I never confronted her with how bad she hurt me. But, you know, we talk and she has young children. I babysit the children for her, you know, when she asked me to. And I'm always there for her. And I just hurt me very badly that she would say something like that to me.
So, and how does she treat you normally, though? Like, this sounds like normally, a very one-off, like, maybe she was hormonal or maybe something was going on and she just lashed out and it was a one-time thing. Does she do this to you frequently or was it a very isolated incident?
She has done similar but not quite this hurtful. Like, in short with me, you know, different times, but not quite like this.
So can I ask, if she doesn't treat you like this normally, what's causing you to hold on to this so much? Why is it so hard to let this one go?
I don't know. I guess the other mother-in-law was there, and maybe I felt a little bad that, you know, she was mad because she was there, you know, and I don't know.
Okay, well, that's fair. So you felt, you know,
embarrassed
in front of this other person, and tell me a little bit more about that relationship. I mean, do you often feel like there's kind of some kind of competition between you and the mother-in-law?
Yeah,
or?
Well, she seems to kind of dote on her a little bit more, you know. I don't know. She helps out a lot, too, as well, you know. But
you feel like your daughter is closer with her mother-in-law in some ways than she is with you.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so there's your problem. Okay, so it's not really about that exchange, right? That's why I wanted to ask those questions, because when you know, it would be different.
That exchange was poking a wound.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, when it's a one-off kind of thing and we're having a hard time letting go of it, it's rarely because of that specific situation. It's because, like you said, Lisa, that one-off thing poked a wound. And right there in that moment, it felt like the way your daughter was treating you was putting a big red highlighter over top of the fact that you don't feel like you're in the same kind of place that you'd like to be with your daughter, that she is in with her mother-in-law. And maybe that's the larger question you guys need to address. And how do you bring that up? It's like, I would say to her, I would say to her, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, when we were on vacation, you know, that something kind of happened and where you kind of lashed out at me and in front of your mother-in-law. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I mean, you know, sometimes we snap at each other. That's not the problem. But what I guess it's been hard for me to let go, because what it really said to me is, I see you being closer with her. And I would really like to be able to have a closer relationship with you. And I'm wondering what I could do to kind of be in that place with you. Is there some way that I could be a better support to you? Is there something more that we could do to kind of work through some things? I mean, what would it take? Because I would really love to be able to feel as close to you as it seems like you are to her. You know, where could we go with that? Right. And just sort of put it out there, you know, so that you're addressing the thing. But it's not that you haven't forgiven her for the snapping. It's that you haven't addressed that underlying concern that you wish you guys could be closer. And don't make it a problem-focused conversation. Don't make it about, how come you love your mother-in-law more than me?
No, not in fact, don't, because the minute you try to say anything like that, she's going to go so far on the defensive that you'll end up having to, like, backtrack and try to repair that again. So leave mother-in-law out of it.
Well, and in fact, if she takes it that way, say, no, it's not about that. It's not that I'm jealous of your mother. It's that I see that you have a connection with her that I'd really love to be able to have with you, and I'm not sure, you know, what it would take to get there, or if there's something getting in the way, and I just wanted to be able to talk about it with you so that, you know, we could be as close as we can be. What do you think? And go ahead and have that conversation, because that would open up some doors. So I think that, you know, and for you, Anne, and for anybody else who's in this situation, you know, when we're having those difficult times letting something go, try not to focus so much on the one situation and kind of back up and ask yourself, what is this pointing to in the bigger picture of our relationship? You know, is this emblematic of a deeper concern that I have, or does it kind of shine a light on some other issue that I haven't been sure how to address? And really bring that to God and say, okay, Lord, you know, I've been really thinking about this. You know, this situation happened. It's highlighting this particular problem. I know that you would like us to all be one as you are, you and the Father are one.
Yes.
Teach me how to respond to this distance or this issue, so that I can be my best self in the face of it, and I can bring out the best in, you know, in your case, my daughter, so that we can be the people that you want us to be and have the relationship you want us to have. And keep praying and reflecting on that, Anne. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. Give us an update of how it goes once you have that conversation. If you'd like more tips on how to have that conversation, our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, could be a great resource for you. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show today titled, When the Hurt Won't Heal. Are you carrying around hurts, either from a recent situation or from, you know, the past, that you're having a hard time letting go of? Let us help you find the next steps on the path to healing and peace. Plus, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be sharing some insights from the Theology of the Body on how we can lean into God's vision for us, even when we face the hurts that we are living in. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
No one sees a face of abortion, you know, in particular, because it's hidden by semantics, it's hidden by words, it's hidden by phrases, and, you know, and these grandiose claims of, oh, we're, you know, it's all about reproductive rights and the women, and women shouldn't be, you know, forced to carry a baby to term, especially if they were victims of rape or incest. So you put all of these ideas in people's heads that this is all about the good of a woman, but not looking at the people involved, the baby, and of course, you know, for example, a woman who we know from research, Dr. David Reardon has done a lot of research on this area, that women who do conceive through rape and carry the baby to term and either keep the child or place it up for adoption are much better off mentally. Mental health, they can deal with that, they can heal much more quickly, because two wrongs definitely don't make a right.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe. Daily Mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled When the Hurt Won't Heal. And we're talking about how to get past those hurts that kind of cling to us and really going to bring on that feelings of resentment and sadness and struggle. Let's talk about how to find hope and healing after the hurt. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And we were talking over the break about St. Faustina, who was a contemporary of St. John Paul and who was really informed a lot of St. John Paul's spirituality. You wanted to share some insights from St. Faustina's experience in dealing with, rather reflecting on God's mercy and mm-hmm. kind of thinking about forgiveness.
Yeah, it's because this task, I think this task is... literally without divine assistance here, it's so hard. It's so hard when we're taking the hits, we're receiving a wound from someone. It's so hard not to take it deep into our personal core. So how do we forgive, right? John Paul II, there's such that iconic moment of his own forgiveness of his, you know, would-be assassin. How did he do that? How was he able just months later to sit in that room with the man who literally shot him? So Faustina, as you say, is a wonderful life who overlapped his own life, and she has this great line from her diary. This is in section 163 of her diary, and I'll just read it. She says, in a prayer, says, "Help me, Lord, that my heart may be merciful, so that I myself may feel all the sufferings of my neighbor. I will refuse my heart to no one. I will be sincere even with those who I know will abuse my kindness." Now, that sounds so potent, but she goes on, she says, "I will lock myself up in the most merciful heart of Jesus." And mm-hmm. I'm so struck by that. How do I forgive? How do I take the hit? I will lock myself up in the most merciful heart of Jesus. So we have this unconditional love, this space, like this Holy of Holies, which is the heart of Jesus. And that's, if I'm abiding in there, boy, did he take the hit. And it's in union with Jesus that I can start to look at the world through that merciful lens. And I can feel, as she says, the sufferings of my neighbor, looking beyond the wound.
And when you talk about looking beyond the wound, what are we looking to instead?
Yeah, this is a line in our with our adoptive family. We hear this in the adoptive community about kids sometimes with different traumas and behavioral patterns. Your child's not giving you a hard time. Your child is having a hard time.
Sure.
And so
sure.
For Rebecca and I, it's like getting beyond, like, why are you raging right now? Why are you mistreating us this way? And trying to see with x-ray vision deep into something else behind them. And I think that's what it means.
You know, and so we're not making excuses for that bad behavior. We're not pretending it didn't happen. But I think by being able to approach it that way, that allows us to have some compassion for that person and then work with them to move past it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and another little maxim here is that you can't fight fire with fire. You have to fight fire with water. And I think that look of mercy and that kind of empathetic heart is the water that can sort of cool the fire for a bit. Again, without divine help, I don't know that it's possible.
But with that help, it allows us to experience new opportunities for healing and moving forward. Bill, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And what's going on at the Theology of the Body Institute, and where can people learn more about it?
Yeah, we're excited about a brand new year and some wonderful courses laid out for us. If you jump on tobinstitute.org, we've got Marian Mystery coming up online and a TOB1 course this spring. So we'd love to have people check out the courses we offer.
tobinstitute.org. Check it out. And we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show today titled When the Hurt Won't Heal. Are you carrying hurts you're having a hard time letting go of, either from recent events or past negative experiences? We want to help you find the next steps on the path to healing and peace. 877-573-7825.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
How does God act when a person moves closer to him? St. Ignatius of Loyola writes in the second of his 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, "And it is proper to the good spirit to give courage and strength, consolations, tears, inspirations, and quiet, easing and taking away all obstacles, so that the person may go forward in doing good." God gives courage and strength to help a person continue to rise from good to better. God also gives consolations and tears. Consolation is a happy, uplifting movement of the heart that assists us in our service to the Lord. Tears reflect the working of God's grace within our hearts. God also gives inspirations that lead to spiritual clarity. He gives a quiet peace within the heart and an easing and taking away of all obstacles. So, as St. Ignatius says, that the person may go forward in doing good.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. St. John Bosco is an important saint for Catholic families. Although he wasn't a parent, he was renowned for being a compassionate Christian teacher and the founder of a religious order dedicated to helping and educating children. At the time, people believed that children were little better than animals who responded only to physical punishment and harsh correction. One day in prayer, St. John Bosco received a heavenly vision where the Blessed Mother told him that children should be corrected not with blows, but with sweetness and charity. Deeply moved by this vision, Bosco developed an approach to discipline he called the preventive system, in contrast to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of his day. He taught his followers that even the most willful, defiant children would offer their heartfelt obedience if they were treated with love and respect. And not only did his approach work, but it raised a saint. His student, Saint Dominic Savio, is often called the first fruit of the preventive system. To learn more about Saint John Bosco and his preventive system, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, When the Hurt Won't Heal. You know, we all carry inside of us certain hurts, whether they're big or small, that are hard to let go of, for whatever reason. We want to help you find those next steps on the path toward healing and peace. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next call, I did want to share with you, you may have heard that Pope Francis has declared a Jubilee year, which is, in particular, an opportunity for forgiveness and experiencing extra measures of God's grace. Well, you might be wondering, though, what does that mean, and how do we participate in that Jubilee? There's a new book by Dr. John Bergsma titled Jesus and the Jubilee, The Biblical Roots of the Year of God's Favor. And in the book, John Bergsma gets to the roots of the Jubilee, showing how this practice was established so that we could preserve, so that God could preserve freedom, family, and the fullness of his blessing for the ancient Israelites and for us today.
We all need that.
You can discover how the Jubilee is the very center of Jesus' mission and how we can fully participate in this ongoing year of favor. Learn more about the book Jesus and the Jubilee, The Biblical Roots of the Year of God's Favor by Dr. John Bergsma. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. Check it out.
It's a great resource.
And with that, we are helping you participate with that grace of the Jubilee year by seeking God's healing as we talk about the hurts that won't heal. You know, how do we move through that pain and find the healing and peace that God has in his heart for us? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Erin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi, Erin. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello.
Hi, Erin. What's your question?
Can you hear me?
We so, can. What's your question today?
A dear friend of mine went through a very difficult breakup last spring, and she tells me a lot about it, and she seems to have gotten kind of stuck in the healing process. I keep hearing from her a lot of accusations of her ex being a narcissist and other things, and I just don't see her making any progress in healing, and I was wondering if there's anything I can do to help her in this.
Well, I mean, it sounds like, you know, she's identified him as a narcissist and where the pain that he caused her is coming from, that maybe she's gone through some kind of counseling to help her diagnose that, or was that just her reaction?
She's done a lot of self-help type reading, but okay. I don't think she's been able to see a counselor at all.
And when you say it was a breakup, was this a marriage or was she dating somebody?
Dating.
Okay. All right. So, and you're wondering how you can help support her through all of this. Can you tell me, what do you usually do whenever she kind of dumps on you about all this?
I'm not really sure how to respond. I acknowledge it. Sometimes I give her a little bit of advice. I try and remind her of her self-worth and her dignity in Christ, but it just keeps coming.
Yeah. And so, what you're talking about here is kind of a sign of what's called complicated grief. Grief is the process of finding healthy ways to stay connected to the person or thing that we've lost. And with complicated grief, what happens is the person latches on to an unhealthy way to stay connected to the thing that they've lost. And so by picking at this wound over and over again, your friend is able to stay in the relationship, in a sense. She's able to stay connected to this, even though it's unhealthy, even though it was not rewarding for her. She misses it. And so she wants to kind of keep repeating it, not consciously, not intentionally.
Yeah, no, I don't think that she's doing this intentionally or is trying to harm herself or even just, you know, dump on you and doesn't have anything else to talk about. It's just something that's unconsciously connecting her to the love she had for this person who's hurt her so badly.
And very often what we're doing when we find those unhealthy ways of staying connected to the person or thing we lost is that there are certain fears that I don't want to face. You know, that by holding on to that relationship, I don't have to face. You know, for example, I'm alone now. What am I going to do about that?
I don't know how to have another romantic relationship because I never want to feel this much pain again. So if I keep talking about how much he hurt me, I'll remind myself that relationships are scary and I won't get into one.
Or it could be any number of things. But the point being that there's a fear underneath there that she's afraid that she wouldn't know how to deal with if she did let go of the relationship and try to seek real healing. So what can you do in that situation? You can't be her therapist. You can't be her counselor, and you don't want to try to put yourself in that situation. I think you can pray with her. But when you pray with her or when you talk with her, you want to start by empathizing and then move to redirecting toward solutions. I'm so sorry you're going through this. What do you think you'd like to do about it to be able to heal? And when she says, well, I read this book or I did this thing, like, well, do you feel like that's really helping you? Or do you feel like you're kind of stuck? Do you feel like you might need some new resources? Is there somebody you can talk to about this, you know, and get some help? You know, are you, you could even say, I heard on the radio, you know, that sometimes when we have a hard time letting go of things, it's because there's kind of a fear underneath it all that we're not quite sure how to deal with. Is that something that you kind of identify with?
Is that something you'd like to talk to somebody about to see if you can untie that knot to free yourself from this?
You know, don't be the one that tries to work her through that.
And don't tell her that you called us, you know, to say, oh, I heard this on the radio the other day. Because you don't want to, A, make her angry that, you know, you were thinking so much about this or talking about it to anybody. But you also don't want her to then start using you even more as some kind of therapeutic tool. Say, oh, well, you knew this, so what do I do now? You want to suggest that this might be a great thing to try to unknot and heal for her.
But I hope that these suggestions will give you at least a way to take a next step toward helping her heal. And again, I know I would say if she's open to it, you might even pray with her. And, you know, Lord, help my sister know how to deal with this pain. Help her to know what you have in store for her. Help her to be open to receiving the blessings that you do want to give her and the healing that you have in your heart for her. And help me know how to be the friend that she needs me to be through this so I can support her in the way that you want me to. Amen. And, you know, be that person who can pray with her and encourage her to go to God with that pain and know that he has a plan for healing her, even if she's having a hard time letting it go. 877-573-7825. The number again is 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled, When the Hurt Won't Heal. Are you having a hard time letting go of something someone did or said that hurt you? Maybe it was something recent, maybe an unkind comment or a cruel word. Maybe it was the way they dismissed your concerns or ignored you or even treated you with disrespect. Or maybe it's something a little deeper, you know, a wound from a painful experience in our past. We want to help you discover the next steps toward letting God heal those old hurts and reclaim your peace. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18.
When the righteous cry out for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
Real encouragement for all of us who are carrying an old hurt and not sure what to do about it. I'd invite you to pray this verse and know that God wants to help you move through this pain, not to ignore the pain, not to pretend it didn't happen, but to be able to address the pain and truly heal by meeting the needs or addressing the concerns that pain is pointing to so that you can move forward in confidence and peace. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled When the Hurt Won't Heal. Are you carrying hurts that you're having a hard time letting go of for whatever reason? Let us help you find the next steps on the path to God's healing and peace. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
What are some of the common temptations against prayer? The Catechism claims that the most common yet hidden temptation is lack of faith, which is expressed not so much in a declaration of disbelief as our actual preferences. For instance, when we begin to pray, a thousand labors or cares vie for priority. This is a moment of truth for our heart. What is our heart's true love? Do we call on the Lord just as a last resort, or do we presumptuously call on Him as an ally? In each case, the Catechism says, we have not acquired the disposition of the humble heart, which remembers the Lord's words, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." A presumptuous heart may experience the temptation of acidia, defined as spiritual depression due to lax ascetical practice, decreasing vigilance, and carelessness of heart. As Jesus chastised his sleeping apostles in Gethsemane, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, when the hurt won't heal. Are you carrying around a hurt that you're having a hard time letting go of, whether it's about a recent offense or an old hurt? We want to help you find the next steps on the path to healing and peace. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
On Covenant Catholic Radio. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I went through a friendship breakup. We had been like sisters for many, many years and raised our children together. And when she lost her husband, she went a little off the tracks and was burning friends left and right. And I stuck by and tried to help take care of her kids and all that sort of stuff. And at one point, I realized that I was pouring more into the relationship than she was, and the forgiveness that I found for her in my heart didn't mean that I needed to continue to allow her access to my heart, which was hard for her to understand, but I found that coming to peace with and knowing that I don't wish her ill will, I still pray for her, I hope good things for her, but that doesn't mean that I need to allow her access to continue to hurt me.
Sure. I mean, in theory, I guess I'm just trying to understand something. So just to kind of follow this up, you were saying that you guys were friends for years. You were like sisters. She lost her husband and then was really having a lot of grief. You were trying to be there for her, but then she was doing something or another to hurt you. Tell me more about that. What was she doing to hurt you?
She was living a very ungodly life for a while, and I just tried being with her and assisting her and helping her kids, and it became to the point where I was constantly the one reaching out to build the relationship, maintain the relationship, assist her in ways that I could. And when I had a major event in my life, I wasn't a consideration for her. And that was the point at which I went, okay, so I have poured more in than I'm going to get returned, which is fine, but that doesn't mean that I need to continue to pour that much in.
Sure. So, Sarah, what was the time frame between her losing her husband and your major event?
About
how long?
8 years.
So a really long time.
Okay, so a very long time. Mm-hmm. That sheds a lot of light.
Yeah,
on
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, when we're forgiving somebody, doesn't necessarily mean that we continue to be in the relationship. There is a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness is something that we can extend on our own. Reconciliation is really something that requires the participation of the other person, because where forgiveness is where we surrender that desire to hurt them for having hurt us, and we wish them well. Reconciliation is where we're able to heal the damage that was done to the relationship and
trust
and
them again, and they can trust us, and we can work on moving forward together.
You know, and what you're describing is a situation where you were there for her for as long as you possibly could be, and, you know, when you needed to kind of put up some boundaries so that you could take care of your own healing, and she wasn't able to be part of your life at that time, you had to let the relationship go. And that's not so much the matter of being unforgiving at all.
At all.
It's a matter of saying, you know, in order for me to be able to attend to this hurt that I have, I need to use these resources that I have on that. And, you know, it would be a different story if she was able to be there for you and contribute to, quote unquote, those resources to help you get through your difficult situation.
Or even if your pulling back from the relationship woke her up enough for her to say, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to lose Sarah. I really need to find out why she's pulling back from me. And that, you know, enabled her to come out of the stupor that she went into after the loss of her husband. And also the time frame. You know, if you had said to me, oh, well, I hung in there for a year or two, I'd say, wow, I think maybe she's, you know, really still going through it. But 8 years was very, you know, it's entrenched, right? She's made her decision on how she's going to live. And as you said, burning up friendships was one of the ways she's chosen to live at that point.
I'm sorry you had to go through that, Sarah, but it sounds like you made the right decision at the time that you did. And you know, and you have forgiven her. And I thank you for bringing up that point, because, again, as we often talk about on the show, there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation.
Yes.
We're obliged to forgive, but we can't always reconcile, certainly not on our own power. And with that, let's go to Tasha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas. Tasha, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Yes, I am. Well, I've been married for 50 years. My husband and I have been separated for almost 6 years now. However, we live not far from one another. We have regular contact. Usually until there's a major issue with his relationship with our children, that's when we really start to have issues with one another. We talked about, like, reconciling and getting back together, and then something comes up where there's a major disagreement between him and our older children or his relationship with our children, and it just causes me to pull back and to pull away. And I'm just trying to figure out how to, like, just let it all go. Maybe
Natasha, like,
this marriage
you've
go.
Stayed close. You've stayed close. Have you ever gotten counseling to help you figure out how to handle when you hit an impasse like this about the kids?
Well, no, because, one, he's not open to counseling at all throughout the years. So there's been a lot. There's been separation here and there. There's been infidelity. He has another daughter who I'm having issues with him and his relationship with her, and she's a teenager, lives in another state. So we've never had counseling. One, my husband, I want religious counseling. He doesn't believe in anything dealing with God or anything. So I'm also just wondering if I should even work on this, because
what's the spiritual relationship here? I mean, like, are you guys both Catholic? You're both Christian. Like, what's the story there?
I'm Christian, and he was Christian. But he's changed that. There was a lot of loss, and this is what I think. There was a lot of loss that he experienced during the time of COVID, of really close family members and relatives, and it all stopped at that point. He wanted nothing to do with religion.
All right. Well, look, I mean, and again, you know, we don't get, nobody gets married to get divorced. Nobody wants their relationship to end. And I, you know, when you're saying, how do you get to a place where you can finally let it go? I mean, I think what you're struggling with here are a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of unhealed hurts. And like I was talking about with our previous caller who was talking about her friend who went through a hard breakup, there's a little bit of complicated grief happening for you, too, where, you know, you don't have the relationship, but you can't let go of the relationship because there are a lot of fears there about what would happen if you did. And so we hold on to the relationship in some ways by holding on to the pain. Even if your ex-husband isn't willing to seek counseling, I'd really encourage you to seek that for yourself. And you can even work with a marriage-friendly counselor to do individual counseling to really investigate, you know, the relationship and is there a potential for reconciliation? It doesn't sound like there is based on what you're describing, but you need to know that in your heart. And working with somebody who is willing to explore that with you, I think would allow you to reflect on those questions that are holding you back. But I think this is kind of the thing where you can't resolve it yourself because you can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak. And it's just going to turn over and over in your head, and you're being led by your feelings right now, as most people are in a situation like this, right? You know, well, things aren't going so badly between us, and this is kind of comfortable, and it's familiar, and maybe things could go, and then there's a flashpoint, and now I feel bad about it, and, oh, I don't know if I can trust him, and he hurt me, and I feel nervous about reaching out to him again. And so as long as we're led by our feelings in this, you're never going to be able to make a decision and discover what God has in store for you next. But I think that by sorting through it and understanding how to have a healthier relationship with your own feelings about this and begin to resolve some of the questions that are holding you back, that's what's going to enable you to decide what to do over the long term. Tasha, I want to thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us. But, you know, just a little public service announcement for anybody who's in a situation. Just because somebody else won't go to counseling doesn't mean that you can't.
And it's such an important thing to know. We always feel, we go back into our childlike selves and think we can't do anything unless mom and dad give us permission in our heads. We don't even realize that's what we're doing. And we often say, well, I can't get counseling unless they'll commit to it with me and we work together. And that is not true.
No, and in fact, in CatholicCounselors.com, we do a lot of single spouse pastoral counseling where even when you're the only one working on a relationship, you can make a lot of changes to improve the relationship, both by setting appropriate boundaries and building rapport in other ways, by applying pressure where it's necessary, by kind of being a little more vulnerable in other ways. It's not about fixing the relationship all by yourself. It's about seeing what it would take to make a healthy relationship and starting to live as if you were in that healthy relationship, which ideally will invite the other person to participate in that healthier relationship or show you that they're not capable of it one way or the other. But these are things that you can do whether the other person wants to participate in that or not. And that's also true in other kinds of relationships where, you know, you're the adult child from a parent who was abusive or, you know, those kinds of things. We have a tendency to think that, well, if that person won't give me that admission that they did this thing or that they won't give me that closure, quote unquote, then I can't heal. But I'm going to go back to a point that I made earlier in the program in our Theology of the Body reflection. Our healing does not reside in any other person. We don't need the other person, their permission or their admission or really anything from them to heal, because that healing lives in God. Our whole healed, what I call the whole healed, godly, grace-filled self, already exists in God. And the closer we draw to Him, the more He enables that whole healed, godly, and grace-filled self to come out in us. He is the source of that, and He can show us the path to healing whatever wounds we've received through the years, whoever inflicted them on us. God is the answer to them. And if you're looking for graceful ways to connect with that healing power of Christ, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal and emotional life in the light of God's grace. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And wherever, you know, or why ever you are having a hard time letting go of the hurt, know that God has healing in His heart for you. Until the next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in, and have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.